So, how many have some problem going on in their life right now? Could be personal, professional, physical, emotional, societal, something that keeps coming up over and over. In fact, reflect on your days so far. How many times have you thought about this problem? And it's only 11:25. It's pretty easy to let our problems take hold of our minds, and we just keep thinking about them and thinking about them and processing and processing and processing. We toss and turn at night. We become fixated sometimes, and it can develop feelings of worry, anxiety, or if you're like me, you get stuck in analysis paralysis, where you look at the problem from every angle many times. And what does all this thinking and processing get us? Do we think the problem's just gonna kind of magically go away if we look at it one more time? Do we think the problem is going to change or become smaller if I just look at it from just the right angle one more time? Most of the time, it feels like we're rowing and rowing against a headwind and we're getting nowhere. All this thinking about the problem gets us nowhere, because the problem with fixating on the problem is it does not solve the problem, right? And the same thinking that got us into the problem is not going to get us out of the problem. So we need to change our thinking. We need to change our thinking because as long as we're focused on the problem, not only do we not fix the problem can actually grow. It gets bigger. The more we give it our energy and consciousness, the problem actually gets bigger, which is why our founder, Ernest Holmes, encouraged us to turn entirely away from the condition, because as long as we look at it, we cannot overcome it. By thinking upon a condition, we tend to animate it with the life of our thought, and thereby it is perpetuated and magnified. It's perpetuated and magnified because when we just keep processing the problem, the thoughts about the problem, the beliefs about the problem is what we're feeding into our consciousness. And what does consciousness do? It responds by corresponding to the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and belief. So the more we feed our consciousness with, I got a problem. It's a really big problem. I don't know what to do about it. That is what we're feeding into consciousness, and the problem grows. So we need to flip our thinking around. Change our thinking from focused on the problem to focus on the solution. Stop giving our energy and consciousness to the problem and start giving our energy and consciousness to the solution. And that solution is the One Spirit. It contains all creativity, all imagination, all guidance, and all solutions. It is the source of all solutions. And a great way to access this source, this spirit, or the great way to focus our attention on it is through affirmative prayer, or what many of the early New Thought teachers called scientific prayer. They called it scientific because it's been tried and proven. One of those early New Thought teachers was Emmett Fox. Emmett Fox was a minister in divine science, which is one of our sister faiths under the larger umbrella of New Thought. And many years ago, Emmett Fox wrote a little booklet, this little booklet, tiny little thing, but it's the golden key. And he wrote this during the Great Depression, when a lot of people had problems. And his opening line is this: scientific prayer will enable you to get yourself or anyone else out of any difficulty. It is the golden key to harmony and happiness. And it's the golden key because it focuses us on spirit and what it has to offer. All of those God qualities, it takes us out of the problem and focuses on the solution. Now, let me be clear what I do not mean by this. I do not mean it focuses us on spirit or God in the sense of an interventionist God, a God that's going to reach down and solve our problems while we just sit there and watch. Which means God is not going to drop $1 million in your lap no matter how long you sit on your meditation cushion. But while you're sitting on that meditation cushion, you might just receive inspiration that, if acted upon, would solve the problem. And we need to act on it. We get to participate in the solution to the problem once received, because spirit works through us as us. It does not just go, you just sit there, I got this. It's got it, but it needs us to cooperate with it. And it also doesn't mean this focusing on spirit, us telling God how to do it. What I mean by that is we don't pray like this. God is, I am, and this is what needs to happen. I need to get this job at this place at this time for X amount of money, or I need to meet this person who knows this thing, blah, blah, blah. We're outlining it all. And because really, if we had the ways and means to solve the problem, we wouldn't be in the mess. So if we had the ways and means, we wouldn't need to do this prayer, and we don't need to tell God or spirit what the problem or what the solution is. It will come to us and through us. So no outlining. Emmett Fox put it this way: you are only the channel through which the divine action takes place, and your treatment will be just the getting of yourself out of the way. All you have to do is this: stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. Two things cannot occupy the same space at the same time. So if we're thinking about the problem, we're not thinking about spirit. When we think about the problem, it brings us worry and anxiety, sleepless nights, sometimes even physical illness. When we're focused on spirit, we feel peace and calm, vitality, energy. When we focus on the problem, we're narrow-minded and resistant. When we focus on spirit, we're open-minded and receptive. When we focus on the problem, we shut down. When we focus on spirit, it opens us up. It opens us up because it transforms our consciousness. Instead of feeding our consciousness all the misstated truths about the problem, that it's too big and intrenchable and all that, instead of feeding our consciousness that, we're feeding our consciousness new ideas and thoughts. We're feeding our consciousness ideas and thoughts about abundance and peace and joy. We're feeding our consciousness thoughts about justice and love and wholeness, guidance, wisdom, creativity. Because these are the qualities of that one divine life, that one spirit that animates all. And isn't abundance the solution to scarcity? Love the solution to hate, peace, the solution to anxiety, wholeness to illness, guidance to confusion. The solution is in spirit, not in the problem. And the more we can focus on spirit, the solution comes to us. Everything we need to implement the solution comes to us. If we need new ideas, they come to us. New connections, they come to us. New resources, they come to us. Because we're transforming our consciousness. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, yeah, but my problem is really big. And it's been with me a long time. But this works. So if you think your problem is too big or too intractable, find one affirmation that resonates with you. One statement of truth that connects you with spirit. And every time the problem comes to mind, take a breath and repeat that affirmation until your mind is no longer on the problem. Whatever affirmation reminds your soul of the truth, it might be, God is all there is. God is with me. God guides me through all things. God is the one source. All my solution is God. I am the beloved child of God. Just take a few seconds right now and find that affirmation that you can commit to whenever your mind wanders to the problem. Start there. The next time, later today or tonight, when you're tossing and turning, close your eyes, take a breath, and say that affirmation. Let it guide you to the truth and away from the problem. The more we do this, bit by bit, we're reprogramming, rewiring our consciousness. We rise above the confusion, above the problem, above the storm of worry and doubt and anxiety, and we're communing and letting in the solution. This kind of consciousness is what Jesus demonstrated in the story that has him walking on water. As we do with Bible stories, we like to look for the metaphysical meaning, what it teaches us about consciousness. And this story, Jesus and his disciples had just fed the multitudes with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And after the people departed, Jesus decided to take some time apart on the mountain to pray. His disciples went ahead by boat to their next destination. They get out there on the sea. A storm comes up. There's strong winds, rough waters, and they're struggling. And while they're dealing with that, Jesus is up on the mountain. I have no doubt he was giving thanks for the incredible demonstration they just witnessed of God solving the problem of how are we going to feed these people. And he was in that space of God consciousness. He spent many hours up on that mountain. He came down in the early morning, pre-dawn hours, and he sees his friends out in the boat, and he just goes to them. They see him coming, and they're afraid. And Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, it is I." He steps in the boat, and what happens? Everything is calm. The wind dies down. The sea is smooth. He had just spent hours focused on God. such that his consciousness solved the problem. The storm was gone. Everything was smooth. Not only for himself, but all of those around him. And now you might be thinking, yeah, but I ain't Jesus. That's a special kind of guy. Well, this is when we remember the rest of the story, the part of this story that is not told nearly as often as the part about Jesus walking on water. Peter was in that boat. And when Peter saw Jesus approaching, he could not believe what he saw. So he said to Jesus, "If it is truly you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Peter, come." Peter stood up, focused on Jesus. He stepped out of that boat and walked over that water to his great friend. Until he turned his attention away and he saw the wind. And he sunk right back into the rough sea. And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter let his consciousness turn away from God consciousness represented by Jesus, and he let it return to the problem, and he sunk right back into it. But the good news in the story of Peter is he teaches us that this ability to turn our consciousness away from the storm, away from the problem, and focus on God and solve the problem is available, this ability, to all of us. We can all do this. So I invite you, the next time you're rowing and rowing and you're not making any headway, you're feeling tossed about by your problems, take some time apart. Meditate. Pray. Bring your consciousness to a higher place. Turn your attention away from the problem into God, the golden key. Let's pray. I invite our practitioner prayer partners and ministers to join by standing and lending their consciousness to all of us. Thank you. That one spirit that animates all of creation is the source of awe. It is beauty and peace and justice and love. It is wisdom, wholeness, vitality, guidance. It is all that we could ever need. And we are part of it because it lives, moves, and has its being in and through its creation, including me and every single person within the sound of my voice. To it, no problem is too big. To it, there is only solution. And then we invite it in. And I invite everyone now to spend a few seconds in silence with that affirmation that speaks to your heart. I give thanks for these great truths that calm the rough seas, that calm our minds. I give thanks for that loving law that brings to us the solution to every problem. I let it go. I let it be because it already is. And so it is.